We're very thankful that you're here tonight again to have opportunity to worship God. We invite you to get a Bible in just a moment. We'll study from it together, and we hope our study will be useful to us, whether young or old, that we will understand and know what God's will is for our lives, and that we will dedicate ourselves in faith to do the will of God. We welcome our visitors. We're glad you're with us again and hope that we can be of encouragement to you in the things of God. And we would encourage each of us to examine ourselves and see that if we are not right before God in our hearts and our lives, that we would repent, that we would return to truth and obey truth in all things. As Brad just read for us, we're going to study the passage in Ecclesiastes 11 for just a moment and look at that for a while to look at God's advice to young people. Young people have set before them life and good, death and evil. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, God said that to Israel. He said, "Behold, or see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." While that's true of the nation of Israel, it is in a sense also true not only of every one of us, but particularly of young people as well. God has set before you life and the good of life and the blessings of life. He's also set before you death and evil. And it's a choice that you make. A choice that you'll make in your life, young person, of whether to choose good and enjoy life and eternal life in the Son, or experience evil, trial and trouble, and death eternally separated from God. You make that decision. Your parents don't make that decision for you. You will, as you grow up. As Solomon speaks to the young man here, he's clearly at an age where he's at a point of decision. He must choose. He must decide the road to take. And the advantages of rejoicing in the youth and using it in a wise way, the choice of removing the things that produce sorrow and death and remembering God now and often when you're young, these are choices that will set you on a course of life that will bring you joy, that will bring bliss and peace with God and with those you live with and among, and ultimately and finally, of course, the eternal life that's found in the Son. We're going to talk especially to young people tonight. Of course, you know, everybody wants to be young. We exercise, we diet, we dye our hair, we do all sorts of things, I guess, to convince ourselves that we're not approaching the top of the hill or over the hill. But, you know, all of that's external. And we really are, you know, there's, I'm sure, several ways that we can count time chronologically. You know, the clock keeps moving. But we can be young at heart. We're as old as we feel in some respects, although the body, as the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 goes on to describe, the body wears out and dies. And so it's good and important to remember God while we're young and have the vitality and strength of youth. Truth is, they're set before all of us a choice of whether in our life, as we have life, we will choose the good, or whether as we live now, we choose the evil that brings death eternally. I want to share with you a couple of comments that I ran across about the state of youth. Our youths love luxury. They have bad manners and contempt for authority. They show disrespect for their elders and love to chatter in places of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. Children, you view yourself as a servant of the house or as the master of the house, the tyrant of the house. They no longer rise when their elders enter the room. It's an issue of respect. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up food, and tyrannize teachers. Sounds pretty modern, doesn't it? In some ways, unfortunately. But that was said about 400 B.C., attributed to Socrates. So you see, it's not just a now sort of an issue, is it? Let me share, let's look at another one with you. A man said, The world is passing through troublous times. Young people today think there's nothing but themselves. Think of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or old age. They are impatient of all restraint. They talk as if they knew everything. And what passes for wisdom with us is foolishness with them. As for the girls, they are forward, immodest, and unladylike in speech, behavior, and dress. Attributed to Peter the Hermit in a sermon preached in 1274, about 750 years ago. We see a pattern developing. We go back to Solomon, and it was obvious that young people weren't always making the right choices. They weren't using their youth wisely. They weren't making good decisions in their youth. So the proverb repeatedly encourages the son to listen to the instruction of his father and obey the teaching of his mother. See, it's not a new phenomenon that youth have to be trained and taught to show wisdom, propriety, morality, faith. And so it's something that every generation has to address, and the book, Word of God helps each generation do that. Just a very, very easily understood and recognized outline of the lesson is in the Scriptures. Well, chapter 11 and verse 9 says, rejoice. Verse 10 says, remove. And verse 1 of chapter 12 says, remember. The three R's for educating young people and for young people to educate themselves. The three R's. Not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but rejoice, remove, and remember. Look with me, young people, and all of us, what God says about this issue, this matter of rejoicing. You face a lot of choices in your life. Young people always have. You face choices when you're in school and in adolescence. And beyond. You'll be faced with choices of drugs, smoking, drinking, moral choices. As you get a little older, you'll make choices and decisions about dating. Who will I date? What kind of person am I interested in being with? And they being with me. Marriage comes down the road. And choices that will affect the rest of your life. Begin back there, or at least have a beginning in who you choose to date. Because you're going to marry somebody you date. We've talked about those things in the past, but it's important to remember them. And you are in a perfect situation, a great situation as a young person. You haven't been married before. And you have the opportunity to understand what marriage is. And to base your life and your decisions upon what God says marriage is. That it's for life. And it's a joining together of heart and soul of another. So that you become one flesh. And great blessings and opportunities. See, that's, I believe, begins to approach what he's getting to when he says rejoice in your youth. Understand that you have the vigor of youth. You have the opportunities of youth, which are a great blessing. He goes on in chapter 12 to describe that as we get older, the body wears out. He figuratively describes, and we won't take time to go through all that right now, except just to realize he talks about our hands and our arms, our legs and our bones and our teeth, our mouths and our hearing. Some are suggesting to me that I don't hear as well as I used to. Probably true. Hush up. Gray hair, you know, activity diminishes as the waistline increases. There's all sorts of deterioration that takes place. Now, as a young person, you have the advantage of just a few years with the strength and vitality that comes with it. In fact, strength is your honor at this point. The proverb says, Proverbs 20:29, it's a glory, it's an honor to youth to have strength. It says, the glory of young men is their strength. They're strapping, they're vital, they're strong, they can take on the world. Even if it is in their own mind sometimes. But you're in a situation of strength. And that's a good thing. Because you're able to make some choices to channel that strength, direct that strength in godly ways. We'll talk more later about David, but we're reminded now of David, the young man who, in strength of faith, brought the giant down, killed him, cut his head off, the enemy of the people of God. Now, and that's really what, really the strength that we're most interested in is not the physical strength, but the strength of faith. While you have physical strength, you're in a position to grow a strong faith. But that's going to be a choice you make. It's not just going to happen abracadabra. Magically, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, "Now I'm strong in faith." Like everybody else, young person, young man, young woman, this is a deliberate, conscious choice that you will give the time and the attention of your life that is necessary to learn the will of God and commit yourself to live the will of God and to trust that God's Word is right and it will lead you to life eternally when you leave this life. Because you see, when we're young, we don't think a lot about death. That 22-year-old boy, I say boy, young man, that I did a funeral for a little over a week ago, he wasn't thinking about death. But he made all the wrong choices that led him straight to it. Now death, time and chance happens to all of us. The righteous can be killed in youth. And the wicked can live to old age. But fundamentally, young person, you have strength on your side. You have youth on your side to make choices to be strong in faith. And to seek out life and set forth life for yourself. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes is essentially about that. It is about life under the sun. It's about living on this earth. It's about from birth. You know, he says there's a time to be born and a time to die. It's about life between those two points. Now, when we die, our spirit returns to God who gave it, chapter 12 teaches. But in the meantime, what choices are you going to make for life here and now? Of course, the way we live here and now is going to affect the eternal destination of our soul. But look with me. God wants you to enjoy your youth. He wants you to enjoy being young. So He says to rejoice, be glad, cheer up, be happy. God has blessed you with youth and its strength and its opportunities. Look in the book of Ecclesiastes, some of the things God says. Now, He wants you in your youth to pursue right things, good things, wholesome things. In our text, He'll go on to say, walk in the ways of your heart. Some versions say impulses and the things that you see, but know God's going to bring into judgment. You see, God wants you to choose, when you're young, things that are right and pure and holy. And you can do that, even though your peers may not be doing that. You can do that. God says you can. You have the physical youth and you have the opportunity to strengthen and grow your faith. Look what God says about life here on earth and as a blessing that He's given us. Chapter 3, 12 and 13. Solomon said, "I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It's the gift of God." Now, that's right. When you grow up, you got to work. But He says, enjoy the fruit of your labor. That's a blessing from God. That's how God designed it. He designed us to work and to benefit from that and to have pleasure in that, to rejoice in that. Look again in that same chapter, verse 22. 3:22. "So I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in all of his works, for that is his heritage," or that is his portion or his lot. God has given us this portion in life to work and enjoy the fruit of our work. He says, "For who can bring him to see what will happen after him?" We live in the here and now. We live for eternity. But you see, Solomon's talking about life under the sun. And when we view life on earth, then we have set before us an opportunity
to be blessed by our portion, which is to work and enjoy the labor, or the fruit of that labor. Chapter 5 and 18. Here is what I've seen. This is from Solomon's experience. It's good and fitting for one to eat and drink, and to enjoy the good of all of his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. Now, while it's good to follow the counsel of the wise and experienced Solomon, it's wise, young person, to listen to the counsel of your mother and father and of the Word and will of God, not just for the moment, but for eternity. To see that God has given you opportunity to benefit from your life here on earth, but most importantly, to rejoice that you have a home in heaven. To make choices that make that a reality. That you choose to serve God, that you obey Jesus, that you live a faithful Christian or life as a Christian. Ecclesiastes, again, 11 in verse 8, a similar passage that says, if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. See, rejoice in your youth, but understand youth fades. Look at your parents. You say, yeah, shake your finger at me. You know what I'm talking about. We grow old. And if you haven't taken time to meditate upon that young person, do it. Stop and realize what a blessing you have, because one day you won't have your youth. Amen. So use it wisely now. Live in it wisely while you have it. To enjoy life. But in a way that brings blessings now and eternally, not that brings evil into your life and destruction upon yourself and others who are around you. You see, that's what Solomon emphasizes then. He says, no, God's going to bring you into judgment for those choices you make. If you choose a life of waste, a life of immorality, a life of faithlessness and disobedience to God, understand, you're going to answer to God for that. If on the other hand you choose righteousness and holiness, then God will judge you for that. And you see, the blessing of that will be eternal life. The judgment of living faithfully is eternal life in Jesus. But the other is also true. Now, you know, for a time as we grow up, And from you know, the 2 and 3 year old, and for a while the parents are in that role of judge. You know, we studied that this morning in our class. We're essentially teachers and we're judges too, because we judge whether they're following the rule, and if they're not, we need to apply the discipline, the correction, the punishment to deter the misbehavior. But as they grow up, you see, then. They need to understand, and you need, young person, to understand, God sees everything. God sees you. God knows you better than you know yourself. Better than your parents know you. God knows you. And you're going to answer to Him. Now, some grown-ups don't seem to want to put that responsibility upon their children or upon themselves, to teach their children to regard and recognize that God is in charge and God rules over the parents and over the children. And so they say, well, you know, they've got to sow the wild oats. And you know, we're going to help them do that. Because we don't want them to be drinking drunk. Or driving drunk. We're going to have the drinking party in our house. We're going to arrange that. That happens all the time these days in our society. Parents arranging opportunities and occasions for the young people to drink and other immoralities. And serve the flesh and satisfy the desires of the flesh, but are sin against God. Now, this verse, among others, ought to impress upon parents the fact, first of all, that God already has said, I'm going to hold young people responsible. You can't remove that from your children. You can't say, I'll be responsible for them when they are at an age where they make moral choices. They're responsible. And young person, you're responsible. And you can't say to God, well, I'm just a young person. My parents answer for me. No, sir.
You answer for yourself. If you understand what I'm saying right now, you need to think carefully about your own life. Do you know what sin is, young person? Do you understand what sin is? Is there sin in your life? Sin is a violation of God's will. It's disobeying God or not doing what God wants you to do. Both of those are sin. Do you have sin in your life, young person, old person, any of us? Is there sin in our life? If so, God's going to hold us accountable. He's going to bring us into judgment. Do you understand what's going to happen to you if you do not become a Christian? Do you know what's going to happen if you are not saved from your sins? Do you know what sin does to you? Do you understand the wages of sin is death? And that's not talking about dying and putting your body in a casket. It's talking about eternal death. Hell. Separation from God in punishment and agony and darkness forevermore. Do you understand that, young person? If you do, you need to understand that the choices you're making are going to determine whether or not you experience that or you experience eternal life with God. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know that He is God with us? That He is God who became flesh and died so we could be saved? Will you trust and obey Him? Young person, these are the choices you need to be making in youth. And while I know it goes into remember your Creator, chapter 12, 1, it starts right here of when you rejoice in your youth. Don't think that youth is a time to go out and sow your wild oats. And then later I'll repent. Solomon says, it doesn't necessarily work that way. You don't remember God now. You don't use your youth now in a godly way. Then life starts throwing its troubles at you. And you have no pleasure in life and no regard for God. That's what Solomon says. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, I suppose. He's emphasizing God's going to bring us into judgment. And young person, He's going to bring you into judgment. We must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Ecclesiastes 12:14, he ends the book by saying, God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. I know, you may not think your parents know, but your parents know that sometimes you're going to try to get away with something. I don't know, maybe there's rare ones that don't as kids try to do that. But you know, young people grow up, they're tempted to have secrets. Keep it from mom and dad. But you're not keeping it from God. You go out on Friday night and drink up with your buddies, you're not keeping it from God. God knows. Take that girl out and do things that ought not be done until you're married. God knows. Go smoke with your friends. Lie at school. Cheat. God knows. Now, how are you going to treat that in yourself? God wants you to know that because He knows, He wants you to repent of that if that's the case and live for Him and rejoice in your youth rather than your youth beginning to set a pattern of disobedience to God the rest of your life. Rejoice while you're young and use it to the service of God and the blessing of yourself. To accomplish that, Solomon says, of course, it's God's advice through Solomon, therefore, you see, because you're a young person and you should rejoice in your youth and make choices that reflect the vigor and strength of youth and the purity that will bring God's blessing rather than His condemnation. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. There's the point. Childhood is fleeting. Youth doesn't last. If you're blessed with life, understand you're not going to always be young. And so remove sorrow. Now, first point, youth is not an excuse for sin. We've alluded to that already. Look at Luke 2 and verse 52, actually 51 and 52, about Jesus. Luke 2, 51 and 2 says, He went down with them, His parents, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus did not view His youth as an opportunity to disregard God, to disregard His parents, to do as He pleases. No, rather He saw it as an opportunity, an occasion for Him to honor His parents, obey His parents, serve God, those around Him. He increased in His wisdom as He grew in the flesh, as He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God and with men. He made choices that did not choose sin and did not excuse sin, but He chose righteousness. And that's God's advice to you. Remove sorrow from your life. And what that means is you remove the cause of sorrow. That's sin. You remove what causes sorrow. Sin does that. Is there anything that causes more sorrow? If we understand what sin is, we'd have to say, no, there's nothing that causes more sorrow than sin. Sin is at the root of sorrow. Indeed, a consequence of Adam and Eve's sin was that we have fleshly sorrow and we die in the flesh. That's a consequence that comes upon all, but we bring an even greater burden of sorrow upon ourselves when we choose to violate God's will, because now we bring upon ourselves spiritual death. God says through Solomon, remove the sorrow. Psalm 119 and verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can he remove the sorrow? How can he remove the sin? By taking heed according to your word. That is God's word. He takes heed, he assesses and lives his life according to the word of God. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Young person, remove sorrow, put away evil from your flesh. You see, put God's word in your heart, obey it in your life, and you'll be following this godly advice in your youth. That begins with becoming a Christian. Oh, and by the way, verse 10. Not only does it mean that you're not always going to be young, it means something else. When it says childhood and youth is vanity, it means that youth does not completely satisfy. Being young is not a total satisfaction. Can any young person here say, I am totally satisfied, and that's all that there is to life? Or does not every young person here have ambition of going beyond the moment for the rest of their life? Youth does not fully satisfy any more than all the other things that Solomon investigated. Money. You know, young people sometimes they think, well, money is the answer to everything. If I was wealthy, if I was rich, that solved everything. Solomon, who had everything, he was the wealthiest man, wisest man, he said, it's vanity. It does not satisfy the soul. And being young doesn't either. So what you need to do is get right with God and stay right with God, young person. You need to become a Christian. That's where you begin. The Bible says you become a Christian by hearing and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that He is the Son of God who died on the cross for the sins of the world and for your sins. And He commands you to repent of those sins you've committed. Change your heart. Don't go out drinking anymore. Put away those immoralities. Put away the lying. Put away the covetousness. Put away those sins. Now bear the fruit of a repentant heart, of doing the will of God. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's how you become a Christian. God, they want you to live as a faithful Christian, doesn't He? He wants you to do the will of the Father, young person. You can do that. God says you can. The question is, do you believe Him? Will you make that choice? You need to run from sin. The Bible says you need to run from sin, young people. You cannot get... You know, I heard the illustration years ago when I was a lot younger. You know, we wouldn't expect a bride in her wedding dress, white wedding dress, to walk through a coal mine and come out on the other side, or come back out and that dress not have the residue of that coal, the soot. It's not gonna be as white as it was when she went in. Well, we can't think to just get as close to sin as we can and everything's okay. No, sir. God says get as far away from it as you can. Now, will you listen to God, young people? Will you listen to your parents? They've been there. They don't want you to be there. They don't want you to be there. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee youthful lusts." You need to understand as a young person, there are particular desires that especially affect you, that Satan uses to capture you in sin. So he says you run from it, but rather pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, the lusts of the flesh doesn't give you a pure heart. If you're driven by the lust of the eye, boy, that hot model over there, that hot girl over there, and you're driven by lust, your heart's not pure, young person. God's going to bring you to account. Remove the sorrow from your heart. Flee from the lust. That's what God's calling you to do. That's what it means. There's application in your life. God wants you to choose the right course. Look what else He says. Back in Proverbs 1, 10 through 16, God tells a young person, and parents tell their children, God tells you, choose your friends wisely. The parent, the father says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. This time will be all right. It'll just be one time. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let's achieve our objective. Let's hurt others to benefit us.'" Really is what these people are saying. They don't care about other people. They're going to harm others, the innocent, to promote themselves and what they want. "Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pits. We'll have all kinds of precious possessions. We'll have our heart's desires. We'll have our blings, you know. We'll have those things that you know, you got to have all the goodies. Well, let's go get it." He says these are not the kind of friends you need. It's the kind of friends a lot of people have. And a lot of people are to others, drawing them into sin along with them. They say, "Cast your lot with us. Let's all have one purse. Let's have everything in common. Let's share it, man. We're friends. We're buds. We're pals, man. We're tight." I don't know what the term is today, for sure. Young people know. You know what I'm talking about. "Look, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For they run; their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood." They don't run away from youthful lust. They run to it. Choose your friends wisely. They're going to help you go to heaven or they're going to help you go to hell. God wants you to know that, young people. So He says, having the promises that God makes us in the Son to be our Father and we to be His children, let us put away every defilement of the flesh and perfect holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Young person, people, God says, you remove those things that defile your soul and harm your life now. Remove sin. Remove the sorrow. And remember God. Remember therefore your Creator in the days of your youth. Your biology teacher, your world history teacher, your anthropology teacher, your sociology teacher, they're going to tell you, you don't have a Creator. The entertainers of the day, the politicians, many of them of the day. They've removed God from the public arena, from speech, from books. They're going to say, you don't have a Creator to remember. Live for yourself. Do what you want. Oh, don't harm others, but you know, when it's all said and done, others don't really have a right to tell you what's right and wrong. You see, young person, if you don't understand that God created you in His image, then you don't have the foundation you need to do what we've been talking about tonight. You don't have the foundation you need to rejoice in your youth and understand what your youth is and means. If you don't recognize your Creator and understand who He is and who you are before Him, you're not going to have much interest in removing sin and sorrow. But like the world, you'll run to the evil. Now you have a choice. You have a choice every day. You have a choice. Will I remember God? Look at Proverbs 3 with me, verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my law, and let your heart keep my commands. Look at that. I thought we kept commands with our words and our conduct. But the Father says, let your heart keep my command. You see, young person, obeying your parents and obeying God starts in your heart. That's your mind in a decision that you make. Now He says, do that for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Today and every day, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come or the difficult days come. You don't have as many of the daily responsibilities that the parents do and that adults do. You're growing and maturing into those and beginning to accept those. You see, that's why now you have an opportunity to set a course of your life that's going to be the pattern for the rest of your life. When you don't have to deal with a mortgage payment, you know, and hospital bills and snotty-nosed kids running around who need your attention, need to training, need to be taught. Understand, you have all the tools before you to remember God. Before you get to a point in life where you view life as meaningless and unfulfilling, and with its trials and its troubles, we think, oh, then that'll be a time to turn to God, but that's really not how it works. Because by that time, people have generally hardened their hearts against God. Sometimes even blaming God for the sorrow, for the trouble, for the difficulties. And you begin to realize life is unsatisfying, but you haven't remembered God. So it's not always an easy journey to come back to God. So you need to remember it when you're young. So you set that course early and often and always. I want to look very briefly because time's about up. I want to remind you of some young people in the Bible and that you can do what they did. You can be the kind of young people they were. Young people who remembered God. Joseph. Joseph was about 17 years old when we were introduced to him in Genesis 37, verse 2, and his brothers hated him. He was the favorite of his father. It wasn't right for his father to show favoritism, but he did. And in that, his brothers hated him. And there are other reasons that the text says that added to that, to the point where some of them wanted to kill him. But others finally convinced them to sell him into slavery into Egypt. And so he's now in Egypt in chapter 39:1, and he's all alone. Just a teenager in his late teens. Maybe he's early 20, but in that general area. Without family, without his father, his brothers have treated him shamefully and hate him. Someone to kill him. He doesn't know the language. He doesn't know the customs. He doesn't know the religion around him. That's not the religion his father taught him.
all these gods, Osiris, and who all they are? Check with Lauren, he can tell you the names. And Joseph is there. And you read that text, and you see that Joseph, in all of that,
as a young man, in his late teens most probably, chose to honor God. And God was with him. And he chose to run away from sin. And was lied about because he chose to be pure. The woman tried to sleep with him. Tried to take him to her bed. And he said no. The young man, prime of his life, good looking, handsome young man. He said, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? I'm not going to do it. You can be that person who says no, who honors God, who lives by faith, even in a difficult situation in your life. Maybe you weren't taught about God early. Maybe you had to overcome struggles and troubles in your life. You can do it. You are doing it. God bless you in doing it. You can be Joseph. You can be like Samuel, who as a child, as a boy, said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. God spoke to him. He's ready to hear what God had to say. Are you ready, young person, to hear what God says? Or would you listen to the world in all of its foolish wisdom? So-called wisdom. Listen to them when they tell you the Bible really isn't from God, and God really isn't there anyway, and religion is just a figment of people's imagination. You know, they're too weak. That's an expression of weakness to believe in God. Who will you believe? Who will you be? Be a Samuel who says, I'm ready to hear and obey the Word of God. Be a David. David said, I'll go fight against the enemy of the people of God. This one who defiles the name of the living God. He said, you know what? And in his youth, he killed a bear, hadn't he, and a lion. 1 Samuel chapter 17, keeping his father's sheep. He protected them. And he says, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, He'll deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Young man of faith, courage, conviction. Be that person, young person. Be a Josiah. You know, when he was 8 years old, he began to rule Judah. And when he was 16, he began to seek after the Lord. And by the time he was 20, he was purging the people, the land and the landscape of idolatry. 20 years old. Tearing down the idols. Purging, cleansing the temple of God and the people of God. Are you up to the challenge? To put your hand to the work? To contend earnestly for the faith? As a young person? That's not just for your mom and dad. That's for you. You have those challenges set before you. What about Daniel and his companions? You remember them? They would not defile themselves with the food at the king's table. And in faith they said, you let us eat vegetables and water, and you test and try and see after a certain period of time whether we're not acceptable. In fact, they were seen to be stronger. God had blessed them. Will you take your stand with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Will you choose not to defile yourself with the dainties of the world? When the friend tries to get you to drink alcohol? When the world, the friends, the people around will try to get you to engage in premarital sex or extramarital sex? Will you stand with those who say, we will not defile ourselves? You can do that. But you've got to remember God. You've got to remember God. Not going to do it with your own strength. You're going to have to remember the strength of God in your life. Let no man despise, let no one despise your youth, Paul told Timothy. Be an example of those who believe. Will you be an example? We've got young people here who are examples. God bless you. God strengthen you. That is it. We need your example. And the people you're around, they need your example. They don't need to see you running with them into sin. They need to see a young person who will stand in the truth of God, who will live beyond the moment into eternity. Be like Jesus. He went home and he was obedient to his parents. And he said on that same occasion, "I must be about my Father's business." Luke 2:49. Be about God's business. You can do that, young person. It requires remembering God. You need to make up your mind now. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You need to learn the Bible. You're going to remember God. You're going to have to learn what God has said so you can remember Him. You can learn about what He's done so you can remember Him. So you can live by faith, not by science. Not by feelings, not by want to or think so's, but by the will of God. Handle God's Word right, rightly divided, grow in it, to be thoroughly equipped to every good work. Obey God, that's your memory. This is the love of God that will keep His commandments. People don't like to hear that. Young or old, don't like to hear that love means obeying God. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. They're not grievous. They're not a burden to us. When we live by faith, that's exactly what we want to do. And if we find in our lives we hadn't been obeying God, then we repent. Remember God in your youth. Pray without ceasing, young person. You need prayer just as much as your parents do, and the old folks do. Any of them. We all need prayer. Pray without ceasing. Worship God faithfully, young people. God expects that of you just as He does anyone else. Psalm 148:12-13 talks about the youth praising God. It says, "Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted, for His glory is above the earth and heaven." Worship God. But you've got to remember God to do that. Your friends want to do something else on Sundays. They want to go hunting. They want to go do something, anything, to go to church. See, you need to remember God. You need to put Him first. You worship Him faithfully. And you'll set an example for them and for others. For us. And you'll be an encouragement rather than a stumbling block to those around you. See, you set a pattern right now for the rest of your life. Right now. When you're young, you're doing that. So, rejoice in your youth. Understand that there are many good things as a young person you can choose and put those in your heart. And rejoice in those things that youth provides, the opportunities youth gives you to be righteous and holy. Remove the sorrow of sin, the sorrow of evil. Do not give yourself over to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, while you're young. When all that's said and done, it's important to see how Solomon closes his book. He says, "This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole of man. This is the whole duty. This is what the essence of life is. It's not about being young. It's not about having the world's possessions. It's not about labor. It's not about high station. It's not about all these other things that are vanity and a striving after wind. Your life is about fearing God and keeping His commandments." That's your duty too, young person. Not just your parents or your grandparents. That's your duty. Will you remember God? Will you put Him first, young or old? You be a Christian? Will you be true to His Word and will? Follow His will rather than your desires? We urge that of you now. We want to help you accomplish that in God's way. To repent. To be baptized into Jesus Christ. Upon the confession that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. The Christ.
We'll baptize you in Christ for the remission of your sins. And He will wash your sins away, and you'll be raised to walk in newness of life. He'll add you to His church, and then you'll be faithful to Him and do His will in your life. Rejoicing, removing sorrow, and remembering Him all the days of your life from youth onward. We urge you to obey Jesus while we stand upon the same.
Have I now?